SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News. Democracy across the world has slipped to its lowest standing in two decades, with media censorship, unfair election and curbs on civil protests on the rise internationally, according to the German Bertelsmann Stiftung Foundation. In its latest report, the group has tracked over 130 countries, finding autocratic rule and populism has been fueled by the COVID pandemic, numerous conflicts such as the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and a sharp rise in food costs and costs of living. Bill Brown, the director of the Australia Institute's Democracy and Accountability Program, says even established democracies can be at risk of political erosion.
Successful democracies rely on a number of factors, among them the consent of the public, which goes beyond voting to include public participation and trust. You also need the rule of law and for governments to be accountable, not just at each election, but day to day as well. And finally, you need strong institutions, courts and judges that are independent, legislatures, as well as governments themselves, and journalists and civil society organisations that can hold those other institutions to account.
How do things like wars or COVID-19 or economic pressures impact democracies?
Democracies are as vulnerable as any other type of government to pressures, whether that's internal or external. But these can also be opportunities for governments to show their ability to make the lives of citizens better. We see this dual role in COVID, where the global pandemic both exposed the vulnerabilities of government, but also proved the necessity of having governments that can protect their people, provide for them, and coordinate a public response. Demagogues and those opposed to democracy can take advantage of widespread disruption, whether that's war or in the economy, which is one reason why it's so important that democracies keep their people safe and do as much as they can to limit the harms that come from recessions and oppressions. Democracies are at their best where they provide for all the citizens that they represent and meet their needs, both in terms of personal security and economic growth.
Is there a correlation then between the living standards of a person and how democratic their government is?
We do see a trend where democracies tend to be more prosperous and more peaceful than other types of government. It's probably a case of these things mutually reinforcing each other, that when people are well off, they increase their public participation and they have better trust in their institutions, and that these institutions repay this trust with economic growth and prosperity. Of course, the trend is not 100%, and we've seen a number of strongmen and authoritarian governments stake their claim on the fact that they can deliver economic growth. In the long term, though, without the accountability that democracy brings, we often see elites capture more and more of that economic growth, ultimately at the expense of the public.
Part of the Bertelsmann Transformation Index, in terms of measuring countries that have become more or less democratic, looks at countries that might have become more autocratic. An example of this being Russia, which has democratic elections, but is now considered a hardline autocracy. Why do you think Russia has slipped?
The fact that an autocracy can hold elections demonstrates how important it is for democracy to have public participation and the rule of law. Elections are the most visible demonstration of a democracy, but alone, they're not sufficient to ensure that government is actually accountable and responsive to the people. Over the last 20 years, we have seen worrying democratic backsliding, not just in Russia, but more broadly around the world as well. It's worth noting, though, that the period of about 2005 to 2010 was a democratic high point. And if we cast our eyes further back, it's clear that many more people are living under democracy than, for example, 100 years ago. That's not to say we shouldn't act to address this backsliding, but it is reassuring that democracy remains a defining feature of the 21st century.
And some countries post-holding free elections are now considered more democratic. So we've got examples with Brazil, Kenya, Zambia. Are there lessons that other countries can be learning from these countries that are becoming more democratic?
The power of elections to return governments that respect democratic norms and civil liberties shows the great power of democracy, its ability to act as a self-corrective. So even when there are situations where governments are more restrictive on oppositions or on civil rights of the public more generally, a vote can turf them out. Now, obviously, it can get to a point where that's no longer possible, where an authoritarian government is so entrenched that elections are skewed and distorted. And that's why it's so important to nip these in the bud and to expect a high standard of democratic rights and participation, even in countries that are well-established democracies. Because there's nothing that guarantees that a country that is a democracy today necessarily has to stay that way in the future.
Looking a bit closer to home, we've seen a bit of a slip with Papua New Guinea in terms of how democratic they are. They're quite a close neighbour to Australia. So what role does our country have in promoting democracy in our region?
Australia is one of the most established and long-running democracies in the world, rivaled perhaps only by Switzerland for how long it has been a liberal democracy. And part of that tradition is our willingness to experiment with different democratic forms and election processes. Back in the 19th century, the Australian ballot spread around the world. This was an innovation on secret voting, which we take for granted today, but had to be developed and rolled out across the world. So Australia has this long history of democratic influence around the world, and it's something we can pursue today as well, by engaging with our neighbours, by using our soft power to encourage respect for liberal democracy and democratic norms, even among our allies, which is sometimes the hardest conversations to have. And Australia can provide financial and institutional support to its neighbours, whether that's by providing advice or monetary assistance to make these institutions stronger and these democratic processes more reliable and consistent. There's also a role for our public broadcasters, the ABC and the SBS in particular, who, if properly funded, can do news reporting that's of regional or global significance, just as the BBC is a respected voice around the world in democracies and more authoritarian countries.
That's Bill Brown, the director of the Australia Institute's Democracy and Accountability Program. Cameron Carr, SBS News.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.